This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Things are going to start moving, man, in a big way. You can feel it. It's still cold outside, but you think next week on Monday is going to be at noon, the legal tampering free agency thing. So essentially, forget about that nonsense and the way that it's phrased. That's when free agency starts. It's going to start 12 p.m. on Monday in the NFL. So you got that, of course.
You have to know that agents and GMs have been talking.
Oh, yeah. It's of course. This is what they do.
Yes.
And that's why immediately at 12 p.m., people are already getting deals done. So the tampering thing, there's tampering to the tampering. There's tampering before the tampering.
I feel like deals are already in place, essentially, is what you're saying.
Yes, I do believe that, unfortunately. And the NFL can investigate these things if they want. But quite frankly, it's really nice when, as opposed to baseball, when the free agency opens, you got to wait months and months and months for something to happen. In the NFL, it's flying and it's crazy for an entire week. First couple days are nuts, and then some guys will sign a few days later. But the first couple days, the big names come off the board.
All right, so here are your big names. Steph Diggs, Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper, Chris Godwin, Brandon Cooks. These are all wide receivers right there. Those are your top five wide receivers right now.
Okay.
And T. Higgins obviously is off the board, and so is Ja'Marr Chase. They have the fifth-year option on him, and they'll give him a new contract. And hopefully they'll be able to sign T. Higgins out there in Cincinnati. Then comes guys like Khalil Mack, Zach Martin's going to retire, Deontay Johnson, Cam Robinson, Brandon Scherff, Hassan Reddick, who did nothing for the Jets.
Yeah.
Carlton Davis, Matt Judon, Charvarius Ward. I mean, these are the guys that you're talking about. You know, and then I'm sure there are going to be some other guys in there that, like, DeMarcus Lawrence is on that list.
Wow.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of old guys. But there'll be some younger guys in there that will sign smaller deals and maybe be able to reinforce some depth for teams. But it doesn't seem like it's all that exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it really doesn't. But I mean, there's a couple other guys that you didn't mention in there, like Ronnie Stanley, right? And yeah. Zach Bond. Those guys are free agents.
Right, depending whether or not they get deals done with their own teams.
Yeah, so T. Higgins got tagged. Then there's Trey Smith, the guard from the Chiefs, who's up there on the list.
They want to keep him.
Well, yeah.
Supposedly.
Yeah, and then you got Trey Smith, the guard from the Kansas City Chiefs, who's going to be highly coveted. Milton Williams, the D-tackle from the Eagles, is going to be highly coveted.
Here's a question for you.
Josh Sweat is out there, yeah.
Where does Zach Wilson go?
I don't give two craps where he goes. Hopefully the hell in a handbag.
Somebody's going to take him.
Okay, whatever. Chris Godwin is on that list.
Yeah.
So that's a good one. So, yeah, there's a few. DJ Reed, of course, of the Jets. So, and Amari Cooper, by the way, we were talking about that. He is a free agent coming up.
Here are your quarterbacks. Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Jacoby Brissett, Marcus Mariota, Taylor Heineke, Drew Locke, Jared Stidham. Justin Fields, Joe Flacco, Jameis Winston, Mac Jones.
Yeah, I'm not sure that Wentz. Yeah, some of the first group of guys though you were reading couldn't have been the top free agents because the first one is Steph Diggs. He's number 30 on this list that I'm looking at. So I don't.
I was talking about wide receivers.
Well, why wouldn't some of these other wide receivers be ahead of him? You know, there's like Chris Godwin. Obviously, you know, Higgins, Amari Cooper. These are all guys that would be ahead of him. So. When you're just talking about wide receivers. But
it had to do with the amount of money that they were making.
Oh, okay.
And what their market value is.
I think Steph Diggs is getting extorted by some reality Instagram big butt girl, I think. I think that's going on. Do you see that story?
I did not.
Steph Diggs extortion?
No, I did not see that.
Did you see that one, Al?
Steph Diggs? I saw a headline.
Yeah, Steph Diggs. Yeah, Mulan Hernandez. You familiar with her?
Me?
Yeah, you.
No.
Yeah, let's see. Free agent wide receiver Stephon Diggs has filed a lawsuit against a social media influencer alleging he's the victim of abuse and an extortion plot.
Oof.
In the lawsuit filed in Texas, claims that defendant Mia Jones, is also known as the Mulan Hernandez, assaulted him and destroyed his valuable property during an altercation in his Houston apartment on June 7th. And then he alleges that she threatened to destroy his career by going public with another version of events if he didn't pay her. Mm. A little messy. Not a good spot,
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's a civil situation.
Yeah. You ask if you're the GM what's going on with this big butt Instagram extortion plot.
I think you got to ask the agent that. Yes,
we're
kind of interested in your client. I mean, like, what's going on? And then, you know, the agent's going to go, don't worry about it. It's just the normal stuff that goes on every day. Like, what?
Yeah, I mean, like, you remember when Jeff Ireland got in all that trouble by asking Des Bryant if his mom was a prostitute? This doesn't fall under that same category, right?
No, I mean, this is a grown man. This is somebody who's been in the NFL for three different teams.
Yeah.
He's been around for a while. He's been uber successful. I think you have to investigate this. To the point where you could ask the agent. And hopefully you have a good relationship with the agent if you're interested in the player.
Yeah, this Mulan Hernandez just, I hate to say, looks like trouble. You look at her, you're like, that's trouble right there. I don't know. If I'm Steph Diggs, I'm like,
maybe that's why he got involved first. Strike first.
Just picture her sitting courtside at a Hawks game. Yeah, that looks like trouble. It looks, you know what? She looks like the personification of a lawsuit. That's what she looks like. If a lawsuit had come to life, what she would look like.
What's her last name?
Mulan Hernandez, or you could also type in Mia Jones. That's her alter ego.
Okay.
Yeah. Big time. There she is at the Hawks game right there. She looks not to be trifled with.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Nope. And she's like a social media influencer?
Yeah. If you go back to, you're spelling Mulan wrong, I think.
Well, that's her right there. It's Mulan.
Yeah. But if you go to her Instagram, I think you could see a bunch of stuff there.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Can't wait.
Mulan.
Yeah, can't wait.
Now you see, you put an I in there now.
This one right here.
There you go, right there. Bang. There's, yeah, see? Oh. See what I mean?
Yes.
You got me now?
I got you now, yeah.
There's descriptions.
Yeah, I see what apropos. You're saying, yeah. Yeah.
It's like, man, there's got to be, there's some trouble at the end of this road. You know, you turn down a road somewhere, make a wrong turn in a ways maze. Like, there's trouble somewhere.
Is she a basketball player?
I don't know. She was on the show Basketball Wives, I think.
Well, she's in a basketball uniform in one of these pictures.
Yeah, you know, I wore a basketball uniform once. I wasn't an NBA player, you know?
That's true. That's true.
She could have been. But yeah. So that's going on with him in his free agency. So a lot of controversies follow him around, that Steph Diggs, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
A lot of controversies. Christos is in Astoria. What's going on, Christos?
Good morning, guys.
What's up, man?
I just want to talk a little. Thank you. I just want to talk a little Jet football. I think we're going to draft Jalen Milroe. I think we're going to go after Justin Fields. I was the guy that called Boomer 3 weeks before Salah got fired, and I told Boomer he's going to get fired. And Boomer told me, no, not going to fire him. They're going to wait and see. And boom, we fired him. So, yeah.
Christos. You feel good about Christos? Christos, you feel good about him being fired in the middle of the season after what happened?
I do, because he didn't do a good job. Okay. He had a losing record. I liked him as a defensive coordinator. I did. As a head coach, I didn't like him.
Yeah, their defense fell off after he got fired, too, by the way.
Yeah, because of his assistant. What was the name? I forgot his name.
Jeff Ulbrich?
Yeah, Jeff Ulbrich, yeah. Yeah, that guy is terrible. Come on. I remember him as a player. I remember him as a player, as a linebacker. You get 200 yards rushing against that guy.
Hey, Christos, don't tell me that you think they're going to draft Jalen Milroe with the 7th overall pick.
No. Okay. In the second round.
All right, just making sure.
The 7th pick, we're getting the middle linebacker.
Okay.
That's what we get.
All right, yeah. I mean, you predicted the future before, so
yeah,
so
maybe you're right here.
Maybe you're right with this, too.
And that's it. And we get some good weather, and let's have a good summer, guys. That's
you
all.
You got it. Okay, Christos. Thanks.
Yes. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. You know? That's the type of phone call I want to hear. You know, I had when I lived in Astoria, I had a landlord named Christos.
Oh, you did, bro?
And then I felt like I had to pronounce it that way. I'd have to call him for something. Is Christos there? I'd have to do that.
Could go Christos?
Yeah, I did the Eddie Scazzeri accent chameleon, which I didn't normally do. But with that one, I did. I said, excuse me, is Christos there? I've got a problem with my bathroom.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know why. That just reminded me of that. Anyway, go ahead.
I was saying, so he thinks the Jets are going to draft a middle linebacker in the middle of the draft.
That doesn't happen.
That doesn't usually happen.
At seven, it doesn't happen. I mean, was he talking edge rusher? Edge rushers come out at 7. Middle linebackers are not a 7th overall pick these days in 2025.
I mean, the highest rated linebacker is, I'm assuming, is Jalen Walker out of Georgia.
Okay. And that's they got him ranked 14th on Tankathon?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. It's probably not going to be where they go.
No, you never know. I mean, like, look, if you told me who's the kid at we did the game, the Giants, the Eagles, he got hurt, N'Kobe Dean.
Yeah.
That kid was all over the field that day.
Mm-hmm.
If one of these kids is that kid,
then
I'll take that kid.
Damn right.
That guy was all over the field, and then he got hurt before the season ended, and they still won the Super Bowl.
If I were a general manager, I would break into Howie Roseman's office and grab all his scouting reports. Yeah, find out who he likes.
And look, he's going to lose some players. There's no question they're going to lose some players.
I mean, they may lose Zach Bond.
May lose Josh Sweat.
I mean, yeah. And those are, by the way, that was a genius. Bringing in Bond was a genius.
Yeah, and they got rid of Darius Slade. They just released him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's now out there as a free agent.
Yep.
Yeah. How old is he now? I feel like he's been around for a long time.
32, maybe?
Yeah, he's played at a high level for a long time. But he's got to be towards the back end now, right? 34,
wow.
Oof. Yeah. Those corners can go down hard, man. Remember Patrick Peterson?
Yeah, but they also can
down
hang on,
hard.
Though. Huh? But they also hang on.
Yeah.
They can hang on, and they can be solid defenders. You know, they're not going to get double moved to death, but, you know, they may not be able to stay up with today's wide receivers.
Remember how bad Revis got at the end?
Yeah.
Oof. These guys, I feel like those corners, they really go down hard and quick. But he's going to be out there. Someone's going to sign him. Played relatively well last year, I think. But then he drafted that corner, played on the other side of him, Howie Roseman, who was great, whose name is escaping now, who was hurt, but then came back and really was their number one corner.
How about Milton Williams, a defensive tackle from
the Eagles? Yeah. He's a young guy, too, right?
He is.
He's 25 or something?
Yep.
26?
He'll get some money.
Damn right. Big old defensive tackle up in there with Jordan Davis.
Yep. Tushog.
Boom, 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 boom. Yeah.
That's a Phil Sim Tushog right there.
Tushog. Yeah, we should put Phil on at some point before the draft.
I think we should put him on this. Well, you guys, you know, maybe because it's free agency starting.
Yeah, but he's more of a draft guy than a free agency guy.
Shut your ass up.
You know what I'm saying? he's way more of it. He's a draft guy. Because, okay, like, when we were doing the coaching search thing, he wasn't interested in that.
Yeah, I didn't understand why he wasn't interested in that.
Because that's not his area of expertise. See, like, if he were doing the NFL today still or inside the NFL, he would be like, okay, I got to get up on that. But now that he's not doing those things, he's putting his hands into the things he really likes.
He still does his podcast with his son.
Yeah, but he wants to...
They talk about it all.
He's getting, you know, he's putting on the gloves for the draft now.
Yeah, he's got the gloves. Without question, he's probably scouring right now all the videotaping that took place at the combine.
He's got that glove on that goes to his elbow.
Yes.
Puts those things on, gets ready to go.
Like the insemination gloves?
Yeah, he puts on his insemination gloves. Yeah. Honey, people ask me, do you watch film with insemination gloves on?
I do it.
And I say, yes, I do. I do. I put them right on, okay. Right up to the elbow.
Okay.
And that's what he loves.
I know he does love. He's probably looking at all the pictures now, the bodies, the hand sizes.
Yeah.
How big their feet are, who's got the longest arms.
And that's why we lean on him, because he's willing to do that work. I'm not. I don't want to know the size of these guys' hands and feet and
very
asses.
Important, because you remember Kenny Pickett has small hands.
He did have small hands.
Very small hands.
Didn't work out for him.
No.
But Burrow had small hands, didn't he?
No, I don't think he had small hands.
I think he did.
You think he had Burrow had small hands?
I'm pretty sure. That was like a thing.
Hold on, let's see. I'm saying they're at least like a 9.75.
I'm telling you it was in like the 8.
No way.
I had a feeling it was in the 8. Was it just 9 inch?
9 inch. The 9 inch hands.
Yeah, Eddie has 9 inch hands. I had 9.25. So those are smaller hands for a good quarterback.
Wow.
What are Shador's hands?
Shador hands?
Did they
yeah,
measure his hands?
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
But he didn't do anything at the
combine. Just pissed people off in the meetings.
One guy. One
All
guy.
Right, here we go. Shador Sanders measurements. Height 6'4", 1.4 inches.
Okay.
Weight 212. Hand size 9.375.
All right.
His arm length was 3 4/8.
I don't know what
31 4/8.
I don't know what that means.
And his wingspan is 76 6/8.
Is that a good wingspan? You don't know wingspan?
Can a guy play football?
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Well, you're the one who turned me on to the hands. Don't try to run away from that now.
Yeah, but there are guys with small hands that can play football.
Let me give you a guy who's got smaller hands than Joe Burrow. Patrick Mahomes.
Does he?
That's right.
Wow.
Patrick Mahomes' hand size was what?
He has 9.25 inches.
No, that's
bigger.
That's bigger than Burrow. Burrow's 9 on the dot.
Oh, I thought he was 9.7 inches.
No,
not bad.
No, that's me.
Oh, 9.7 is the average for quarterbacks.
Yeah, and Burrow's down at 9 flat. 9 flat. Do you have a list of good small hand quarterbacks there?
I do have some 9 inches. Let's see. Kenny Pickett, 8.5 inches.
That's
baby hands. So, I mean, like, Patrick Mahomes is 9.25 inches.
Yeah, 9.25. I'd read that incorrectly.
Okay.
But Jared Goff, 9 inches. Ryan Tannehill, 9 inches.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Saying. There are guys out there.
The guys out there who have
small
succeeded
hands.
with the smaller hands. Well, Cam Ward hands, did we do that yet? Cam Ward hands. Cam Ward. Where is it? Hand size.
9 inches.
It was 9?
Yep, at this combine.
So you think they're going to grow? By the time he gets to his pro day?
By the way, I got a bunch of hand sizes now.
Oh, yeah. Give us some hand sizes.
All right, so on the bigger end?
Yes.
Nick Foles, 10 5/8. Dak Prescott, 10 7/8. Oof. Al's favorite, Brock Osweiler, 9 7/8.
Didn't Odell Beckham have like Marfan syndrome or something that had like extra large hands?
He had Marfan syndrome?
Is that right?
I don't remember that. Eli Manning, 9 1/8. You don't see a lot of guys with 9 flat or in the 8s.
10 inches for Odell Beckham Jr.'s hands.
And that was because of Marfan syndrome?
I'm not seeing that part.
It's a genetic disorder that affects the body's connective tissues.
And he had this?
I don't know if he did or not.
It's a weird memory to have.
I don't know why
Very
I thought
specific
that.
Syndrome.
See, like you have really long fingers.
Oh, okay. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Ask Gronk.
That's what I'm doing. I'm working on this right now, yeah.
What Gronk has to say.
There's no definitive public evidence that he has Marfan syndrome.
Okay, but there is something about large hand size.
Does any?
Yeah, large hands is a symptom of that.
Yes, arms, legs, fingers, and toes that are longer in relation to the rest of the body. Like if you have really exercised hands. How big was Odell's hands?
10 inches.
Those are big hands.
Big hands.
Big hands. How tall was he? He had long arms, long fingers.
Wait. I put in
5'11".
With a 10-inch hand. That's a big hand.
Jonathan Jean, a French draft prospect, was diagnosed with Marfan syndrome, which could affect his NFL career. In a positive way or a negative way?
Probably negative in that way. I don't know. I thought I heard something like that, but I could be off.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't even know if I even knew about it. Eddie, did you know about Marfan?
I did not.
You did not? Wow. Crazy. Is there...
Abraham Lincoln had Marfan. Michael Phelps has Marfan, according to Grok.
Who's the most famous guy with Marfan?
Well, Abraham Lincoln. Did they get more famous than that?
Yeah, no, they
do. Michael Phelps?
They do. Like, am I reading that there, that Julius Caesar had Marfan?
Yeah, well, I don't know if that was diagnosable back then. Do you?
I mean, they got, by the way, I can see this list. They got King Tut on there. King Tut. Is King Tut more famous than Abe Lincoln?
Not here. Egypt, yes. Not
what
here.
About Julius Caesar? Caesar? That's a man. That is a big list right there.
That is a big. Well, yeah.
Would you put Caesar in a category where he could be more famous in America than Abraham Lincoln? Like if you went out on the street. You'd probably get more Abe Lincolns than Julius Caesar. You ask who Abe Lincoln is out on the street, more people give you that. Because you learn more about Abe Lincoln in school than you do Julius Caesar. You'd expect, right?
And Lincoln is literally
on the $5 bill. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Julius Caesar's salads are all over the place. Am I wrong? Go to any restaurants, right? I mean, it's anyone.
Come on.
It's right up there.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
It is Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So as we were trying to figure out if Odell Beckham Jr. had Marfan syndrome, we found that there were many famous people with Marfan syndrome, and including King Tutankhamun, and Michael Phelps, Abe Lincoln, Julius Caesar. But Odell Beckham Jr., no, not one of those.
Nothing, yeah.
April in Poughkeepsie knows more about Marfan than we do. April, good morning. How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Yes.
So I just want to give you a couple of quick facts on Marfan syndrome. And I should preface this by saying every patient is different. Every doctor's advice is different. Certainly can't speak to a particular football player situation. But in general, contact sports can be a no-no, and many high school athletes, unfortunately, and older athletes' careers are ended when they learn through genetic testing that they have Marfan, because they have a 250 times greater chance of aortic dissection than the general population. That's what killed John Ritter. It's a ripping or tearing of the aorta.
Yeah, so it's a heart issue too, right?
Yeah, so basically it's a genetic aortic and vascular condition, and it also affects connective tissue. So it impacts everything from eyesight to bones to aortic health. There are some great treatments for it. We have a lot more longevity, but contact sports really, because of that risk of dissection, can be very problematic.
Well, yes, and thank you, April, for that information. And even Eddie Scazzeri did not know about Marfan. So,
yeah, I will say this, that it's amazing that, like, in the world of cystic fibrosis, you would think, you know, don't play sports, don't do anything like that. But then again, we have all these different BEF athletes who deal with the disease and still yet play. And we have one of the great lacrosse players, Connor McGovern, who has CF but yet was played for North Carolina as one of their top players.
Well, like April said, you know, everybody
is a little bit different.
So I'm sure the doctors say, hey, you probably can play and be okay, or maybe your case is a little bit more severe and you can't.
And I would think, like she was saying, the contact sports, you know, I would think would be something that would be off limits.
Sure. Sounds like it. All right, CeeLo, what's happening over there, man? All right,
brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Going to spend a little time with Rick Pitino here. St. John's up to number six in the country off the Big East regular season title. So you had Pitino with BT and Sal here on the Fan yesterday. Happy his team's had to face some pressure recently, grind out some tight games because of what lies ahead.
We needed that test going into the Big East tournament as well as the NCAA because these guys don't have any experience at all with the NCAA. None.
And then he's quick to remind us and his team, I'm sure, that they're not the most talented group, I guess, and can't rest on their laurels.
There's no Chris Mullins on his basketball team, so let's not get too carried away. Let's be very, very thankful that what they've accomplished, be very hopeful.
And go from there, keep fighting and working hard, which was part of the message during that now viral halftime speech he gave to his team at Providence early in the season. Turning point that night and the rest of the way, but even he admits maybe it was a little bit too much in the moment.
You know, when I watched that, I said, oh, God. I had looked at myself and said, settle down. And, you know, I was just trying to win the game.
I love that so much. I showed it to my 8-year-old the other day with the bleeps.
Yeah.
But, you know, trying to instill some of these lessons about pushing through and we don't necessarily want to do things or it's not going our way. So I fired up a little Pitino halftime at Providence.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I did the same. I had a similar conversation about not giving up when things aren't going your way.
Yeah.
When we were playing some ball in the house the other day with the two girls. But I did not show them the Rick Pitino thing, and now I feel like I got to do that.
As long as, you know.
To my 3-year-old.
You get the bleeped version, and, you know, Gina won't be annoyed that you're showing them that.
Nah.
Fired up was he Coach Pitino. Even he said, "You got that, Coach? Calm down a little bit.
Yeah, chill out.
Self-reflection. You don't hear this from a big-time coach too often, as successful as he is, at least publicly or on the airwaves, as was the case here.
I'm overpaid right now. They should take some money away from me. So it's I don't need anything. Mm-hmm. And my agent's going to kill me for saying that because he keeps saying you're not in the top five of Big East coaches. He's going to kill me now.
All right, right now, though, fully focused on the task at hand, not getting caught up in the success they've had to this point.
I don't want to embrace the moment at all until come May, where I sit back and say, hey, man, that was great. And just have a gin and tonic, sit on the beach and just say, man, I'm so proud of those guys. And I'm really, really proud of the coaches and what we accomplished this year.
And now here's where you guys come in, and then we'll move forward after the deal Gio brokered when Pitino was on this program just a few weeks back.
And just so you know, and when you're having that gin and tonic, there's a good chance Boomer and Gio's going to be next to you on the Wingfoot Golf Club, because I know you invited those guys. Gio's going to be pestering you every day to get out there and play golf on your track, Rick. You open up the door for him.
I would love to have them, certainly.
There you go. You're in.
Oh, the sweet sounds of the Rick Pitino
just
invite.
Like that.
Isn't that great? And by the way, we got to bring Kenny to that. But that was part of the deal.
Yeah, he already knows.
Okay, just making sure.
Mike, believe me, Mike texted me right after you did that.
What do you mean, did that? It's a good thing for all of us.
But I
mean the way you say did that? I mean, this is a good thing.
I'm not saying it's not a good thing. I mean,
you've done so much for me. I'm giving back now.
Okay.
By having Rick Pitino host us.
Okay, let me just tell you something. Hard golf course, dude. Straight ahead. Let's go.
I understand. Every golf course is a hard golf course. It's about the company.
Okay.
That's what it's about. We'll have some fun. We'll probably team up, you and I, and we actually had some success last year. We did.
Yes, we did.
We had some success last year.
A lot of success, actually.
So, looking forward to
great
it.
Great advice from Boomer there, straight ahead.
Yeah.
Right,
you want to hit into the woods and the other courses.
No, the problem is when you hit the ball like 90 degrees and you got to go that way.
If he could help
it back this way, and
he would
that way.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
No. For the most part, he plays very quickly, which is something that I do appreciate. He doesn't labor over a shot, doesn't think too much about it, and just gets up there and plays. That's
there
all.
You go. Keep it moving.
There's one golf course you said you couldn't stand because of like the sight lines when you play, but you love the course. But for your swing,
it's a hard place for me to play. I always have a tough day there. Yes,
and then you also said Deepdale is one of those places, and I played
Same
Deepdale
thing.
With you, and you're curving it around the trees perfectly that day. I was like, I thought you had a problem here.
Well, I figure my game has to, just kind of has to adjust to what tends to be in my way when I play.
Everything's
in my way. And my friends who do play there, and it's a beautiful place. I mean, my God, it's the fastest greens in America.
Deep Dale, yeah.
And yeah, I'm telling you, no, they are. They are. They're ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I will say that it makes you focus because of the way that the course is built and with the trees around it. I'm usually playing at Lynx course. That's what I usually like to play.
Yeah, mm. A little more space there.
And my friends who are members just absolutely laugh at me because I always send them a text that I just, you know, shot 110 at Deepdale as I five putted on number eight.
No way. 110?
Well, you can at that place.
Come on, I'm telling you, yes. It's,
jeez.
I mean, I putted, like, people who have played this place understand that the eighth green is, like, impossible. And then when they put the pin up in the top left corner and you putt down on it and you just barely touch it, it goes all the way down the hill. And then you got to chip back up onto the green again.
Yeah, there was a story. The Italian prime minister would land his helicopter on one of the fairways and go play occasionally.
16, I think 16. Michael Bloomberg would land a helicopter there too as well.
And this was one of the showers. I was like, gotta take a shower in this place.
Yes.
And I go back and I hear Boomer in the back corner of the showers. And I'm like, oh my God, what's going on in here? And then I turn on the shower and then it's the both of us going. It's like you're in a... I mean, it's like a tsunami. It's crazy. It's on like nothing.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
that is true. Yes.
All right, I'll tell you what. I'm not going to bore Gio. I mean, the Rangers did win 4-0.
Bore Gio? It's a 4-0 win.
No, I know that. I know that.
About?
But I have like 2.5 minutes left. All right, and I promised you the rest of the Vernon Maxwell and Hakeem Olajuwon. All right, so 4-0 Rangers over the Islanders, which is great. You do have the Knicks and the Warriors tonight at the Garden.
That's three over the Islanders, for sure.
Yeah, the team that... had been giving them trouble for years. It's kind of gone the other way now.
Sorokin's having a little trouble against us now.
There you go. Well, when pucks go in off someone's head over his shoulder, there's not much you can do about that. Anyway, Vernon Maxwell with the All That Smoke guys talking Hakeem Olajuwon and his days with the Houston Rockets.
Is there any truth to Hakeem slapping the shit out of you at halftime one time?
A lot.
What happened? He said there's a lot of truth to it.
A lot of truth to that. That motherfucker, like, he scraped his hands on the ground. Oh, my goodness. That hit me so goddamn hard.
And then Sam Cassell, I guess, prior to the slap, it tried to come to his aid and calm him down.
Wizard Seattle. Goddamn, I'm having a bad first half. So I'm mad. When I get mad, I just spit. I'm walking, I'm spitting. And then... Sam sitting up, Robert beside me. Man, it's gonna be all right, Max. Come on, man, you're gonna be okay. Man, this man, these ain't giving me the ball. These pass the ball, man. This so Dream behind me, and Dream like, Maxie, what the is you doing? That's just not professional. Don't do that. Stop that. I was like, Dream, man, that. I'm tired of you too.
So we'll talk back there, and then as you can imagine, that didn't go well for him.
Hey, why would I say that? I shouldn't have said that. Because he came in and put his goddamn hands up, big old hands on me.
In the locker room?
Oh, man, he slapped the shit out of me.
Coming from the back?
Oh, man, way from the back. He slapped the shit out of me so hard. I mean, I thought I'm going to punch me. He slapped the shit out of me. Man, them big ass hands. That man slapped the out of me, man. Then it killed me.
But knowing you, you had to do. What'd you do?
Well,
you tried to get yourself together.
He's like, well,
I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked.
Oh, you guys are having a blast in there, and he did go back at him, I guess, and then on all chaos and hell broke loose in the locker room. And
I love when he breaks into the Hakeem accent.
Thing.
He's like. Vern, stop doing that. You cannot do that. It's professional.
And what you doing?
What you doing? What a story. God, I wish we could play it clean.
Yeah. A lot of bleeps in there. Yeah.
Very good job there, CeeLo.
Appreciate that.
Is that it?
I mean, if
that was
you
great.
Want me to
no,
keep
it's good.
Going,
it's fine.
I could play some Ranger sound.
We got that next hour,
sure.
So very good, CeeLo. We'll see you next hour.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
No, I was thinking, G, as St. John's has gone up in the rankings and listening to Rick Pitino all morning about their success, that, you know, maybe if they make it to the Final Four, we can go back to San Antonio and the Alamo Dome this year.
We can?
Yeah, I was just there. I sent you a picture. I showed you the Alamo Dome.
Yeah, I mean, that is funny because we were just talking about it, like, of all places, San Antonio. But, yeah, that would be the first time. It's funny. I said the other day, I don't think I'm ever going to be in San Antonio ever in my life. It's going to be a city that will remain untouched by my presence. There's a chance. Hey, if St. John's in the Final Four, there would be a chance that we would go. I don't know if we would, because a morning show over there wouldn't make a ton of sense.
No.
But there would be a chance. It'd be my closest chance to actually going to San Antonio.
Yeah, it's, you know, like I told you, I was right across the street from the Alamo Dome. So it's a long way away, mm-hmm. That's for sure, as Rick Pitino is kind of warning everybody.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a lot, and I don't necessarily know that they have the three-point shooting or the free throw shooting to get them there, but they do have the defense, that I will say, and they got hungry players, as their coach would describe. I think he would describe his team as a bunch of hungry players. Like, he's got them, like, Tom Izzo would have his Michigan State players like that. Gary Williams used to have the Maryland players like that.
Sure. Well, they at least got to make it to the Sweet 16. I think that is a prerequisite for how good this team has been. They've got to make it there. And then anything after that would be unbelievably awesome if they won that game, got to the Elite Eight. But, you know, getting to the Sweet 16 and this team, I mean, I don't want to, there should be no limits on what they can do. But if they lost in the first round or the second round, it would be hugely disappointing. If they lost in the Sweet 16, you'd at least say that, hey, they ran into a good team. They should run into a good team, you know, in that situation.
Two things. One, CBS Sports Network, before we went to break, they showed the top 12 teams in the NCAA right now, rankings-wise.
They of just course, did the top 12? They didn't do the full 25?
No, they didn't do and the reason...
Was that Waldron's top 12?
Yeah, I don't know. Why would they do, like, the top 13? Because Maryland's 13.
Oh, that's why they did it.
That's probably why
they left them on the outside.
Did it on purpose.
Yeah.
And Maryland's always going to get screwed, because usually what happens when we do make the tournament, somehow, some way, they always send us out west.
That's great. Yeah, well, they definitely did that on purpose.
So bracketology right now has us going to Seattle.
Well, you never
in the first
know.
Round in the Midwestern bracket in
That's
Seattle.
That's hard to predict.
I know.
You don't know what's going to happen. And by the
see,
way, you got all...
See, there's his top 12 list. You got AP at top 25 men's basketball, and he only has 12 teams up there.
Well, yeah. It's because they know what they're doing. They want to give you a little ribbon. You know, a little one of those.
A little nudge, huh?
Yeah, we go after Stephen Waldron and nudge him a ton. He's nudging us back is what's
right.
going on.
Well,
he's nudging you back. Yeah, not nudging me back.
But you more nudge him than I nudge him.
Fair. That is true. But you do your fair share in nudging.
Yes.
Hard to argue.
Yes.
You're a nudge guy as well.
I'm not going to argue with that, no.
Yeah. Do you think they're, like, speaking of this show traveling, and I know this gives Al anxiety, but, like, is there anything that would happen in New York sports other than the Jets or the Giants going to the Super Bowl? Because we've gone to a ton of Super Bowls. Is there anything else that would happen in New York sports where it felt like we had to go and do shows from that location?
If the Jets or Giants had the first overall and the second overall, like, pick in the draft, maybe we'd end up having to go to the draft.
Like, both the Jets or the Giants won two, or one of them has the first overall pick?
I feel like, they both have had high picks over the last few years. I mean, I don't know, and that did not get us to go to those. But we did do some draft shows because of it.
Yeah. How about Game 7 of the World Series on the road, either the Mets or Yankees?
In Los Angeles, doing a 3 a.m. in the morning show? No thanks.
Well, what if it were in a different place? What if it was the Yankees and Phillies? The Phillies?
No, we'd stay here.
Okay. I'm just saying, I don't know.
What about a Knicks finals, and they're playing against an East Coast team?
How do you play the finals?
They play
the West Coast.
Nice try.
Western Division or Western Conference.
Because that we definitely would do.
Yeah.
Knicks Brooklyn final.
Well, Mike and Chris used to go out to all those Knicks things.
In 94, they were traveling, like, to Vancouver, to Houston, back and forth.
Oh, here's one. You know that this would happen, because if the Rangers were to win a Stanley Cup on the road or had an opportunity to do that, Game 7 Rangers, you would have us there, don't you think?
In Winnipeg.
Oof. Winnipeg in the springtime, I hear, is nice.
Yeah, that'd be a tough one.
Did you fly into Winnipeg for that
thing
you did with Sydney?
Yeah, Sydney and Gunnar. I took them up to Aiken's Lake up in Canada and went fishing for walleye and lake trout.
What about Edmonton? Rangers Edmonton final, game 7.
Oof. If Connor McDavid were on the Rangers, yes.
And you could put us up at Lake Louise.
Yeah, there you go.
Lake Louise.
Maybe Vancouver.
I hear Vancouver's beautiful. That's what
it is.
So do you think that would be one? Is that the answer to the question?
I don't think so, actually.
So if the Jets or Giants are in the Super Bowl, 100%,
yes, 100%.
Lock, we're there.
Yeah, because that's a week worth of shows and and around the local teams.
Yeah, but you don't see any other scenario. Yankees, Mets, Game 7, World Series, Knicks, Finals, Game 7, Rangers, Game 7. I think the closest one is Rangers, Game 7, because you're going to want to be there so bad to see them win a cup that would be the one.
I would hope that they'd be playing it at home and not on the road.
But if they were,
I know, that's why we're talking about this. Yeah, but honestly, to do a 3 a.m. morning show, if they were playing a Western conference
but it'd be for you.
Like if they were playing Vegas.
That's an occupational hazard.
So game 6 and game 7.
Yeah.
Back and forth. Man, a game 7 in Vegas?
Oh, yeah. But
I can see us doing that.
But you would be there, and then obviously, you know, you'd do the show, you'd take a big nap, and then you go and watch the game.
No, I'm saying, if they were playing Vegas and we stayed at the Wynn Hotel.
Yeah, just did the show from that studio again?
That studio down there, yeah.
All right, so there's the answer. It would have to be Las Vegas. It would have to be the Rangers on the road in Game 7 against the Golden Knights.
It ain't going to happen, but it could be Nashville.
Okay. That would be another
one. That would be a good one.
Yeah. There's no other Western Conference city.
You would have to look and count it. You'd have to say, like, Winnipeg, Minnesota.
Edmonton, Calgary.
Calgary, yeah. Minnesota.
Dallas.
Yeah. Dallas? No.
Salt Lake.
Yeah, I could see us going to Salt Lake. That wouldn't be too bad.
Especially that time of year. Because you get North Chest out there bringing us around all the golf courses.
Oh, there you go. Of course.
All right, so we got a couple answers.
Yeah, we do.
A couple answers, but it revolves around hockey, not the other sports.